Have a seat. I'm going to try and turn this morning's sermon into half the time. If you went down into Sileby, or if you went round and asked people in this village what they thought about Christians, what would you expect them to say? Well, the way we've got our mindset is that you'd expect people, or we've trained ourselves to think, people would call us hypocrites, deluded idiots, for believing fairy tales, and judgmental. Can I tell you, it turns out you're wrong if that's what you think. The Evangelical Alliance employed a professional polling organisation called the Barna Group to do a national large-scale survey about what people think of Christians. And you know what? Most people like us. Most people said we were friendly, caring, good-humoured, generous, encouraging, and hopeful. It was only the minority that said we were narrow-minded, hypocritical, uptight, and even fewer, only 5% thought Christians were selfish. People out there have a sense that there is something good about Christianity, and they want to know more, really. And William Temple, who was the Archbishop up until just when the war ended, wrote a commentary on this book of John, and he said that Nicodemus, that the chap we've got tonight, he can see that there's something good in Jesus. He can see God's doing something good, and he really wants to know what that is. But the issue for Nicodemus is that he's got a lot to lose, and that's where people are today. They know that the church is a good place to be and that Christians are nice people, but actually making a commitment to this Jesus chap, that's expensive. So who is Nicodemus? Well, some people argue he's a man called Nicodemus Ben-Gurion, who was mentioned in the Talmud. He was a very wealthy, popular, holy man, but the problem with that is that this man is old. And Nicodemus Ben-Gurion appears 40 years later on at the time of the Jewish wars. The question you have to ask yourself is it important we know who Nicodemus was? I don't think it is. I think it's important we know more about the conversation that's going on here between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus had a lot to lose. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a Pharisee. He was the equivalent of the person living behind the electric gates, who's a mixture of bishop come MP come all sorts of things. He's got a lot to lose if he has to commit to this Jesus Christ. And he's not quite sure who Jesus is. He comes to Jesus at night. Interesting that is, isn't it? That shows you he doesn't need to be seen with this man. It's a bit like a bishop or the Archbishop of Canterbury making an overnight journey to meet a wise, holy man in the Fens. He doesn't want to be seen to be associating with him, but he's still intrigued by what's going on in that part of the world. And Nicodemus doesn't recognise him as the Son of God because he calls him a rabbi, a teacher, but he knows that there's something remarkable going on in this Jesus. Jesus, you must help me to understand. Now, we're trained, aren't we, these days, not to push Jesus down people's throats. But I read this week. What noise are we Christians contributing to today's over-opinionated society? Are we also avoiding talking about the one who saves? Are we jumping on the bandwagon of talking only about the bad things in the world? Are we shallow in our conversations, or are we speaking with the tongues of angels, speaking the words of Christ, speaking with the Spirit of God? Maybe we don't want people to think we're Jesus freaks, goody two-shoes, religious zealots, or backward weirdos. But aren't we actually supposed to be peculiar? Are we supposed to stand out from the crowd and the non-believers? And not just because we do things differently, but because we believe differently. Because we have the Holy Spirit as our constant companion. Because we speak with the tongues of angels. So maybe we need to stop thinking about being odd or offending people. I think we're over-worried. There are people out there who know that the church is a good thing, and they want to know more, and we're too afraid to tell them. Jesus isn't like that. Verse 3, Jesus doesn't say, come along to synagogue, come and have dinner with me, I'll make friends with you, and keep putting off. What does he do? He says, Nicodemus, unless I tell you the truth, unless, it says in one version, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. So the key words and phrases there, unless, born again, kingdom of God. They're the key things. And Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He goes straight for it. And born again, that's a phrase that we sometimes have trouble with. Born again is what wacky, charismatic Christians do. No, it's not. If we look at the Greek, it also means born from above. What Jesus is saying is, Nicodemus, you've come looking to see whether you can make yourself a Christian. Nicodemus, it's something that God does. You need to surrender to God first, then God can do his work in you. You see, that's an interesting point, isn't it? We don't make Christians. God makes Christians. We share the gospel, the Holy Spirit convicts people's hearts, and God gives grace. And unless we are born again, we cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you see, Nicodemus would have struggled with this, because Nicodemus thought the kingdom of God was something that happened at the end of time, and that because he was a good Jew, he was guaranteed a place. And Jesus is saying, no, Nicodemus, the kingdom of God's here now. And you can be part of it, but you've got to leave everything you've learnt behind and start again. How many people in our communities think, I'm in, I was baptised, I go to church Christmas and Easter, I did Sunday school when I was younger, I'm in, I'm C of E. Jesus is saying that doesn't make any difference. That doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is being born again. Born from above. Given new hope, new life. And is Nicodemus being a bit vague and obtuse when he goes, well, can I enter my mother's womb and be born again? I think poor old Nicodemus is a bit confused. He's being bombarded with challenging concepts. And I think he's genuinely misunderstood what Jesus is saying. He's misinterpreted the Greek, because it would have been Aramaic that they were speaking. But he's not quite got it. He's not quite understood that he's got to leave behind the past and move into a new future. He's got to allow God to do a work of regeneration in his life so that he's born again. So Jesus says to him in verse 5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Now, as good Anglicans, we would say get baptized. But you know what the danger with that is? People think, I get baptized, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You need to receive God's Holy Spirit into your heart so that it changes you. And I think, actually, Jesus isn't necessarily just thinking of baptism here. He may have in his mind John's baptism and what John was doing in the desert. But I think there's also imagery here about God pouring out the Holy Spirit on those around in the Old Testament. The image of water here is a graphic image about God pouring out great beauty and riches. So baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Receiving God's Holy Spirit does. And Nicodemus responds, and he just doesn't understand it. Nicodemus is clearly not understanding anything. And Nicodemus is faced again with Jesus' challenge. Flesh gives birth to flesh in verse 6, but the Spirit to the Spirit. Jesus is saying, Nicodemus, you're born a sinner, and you need a changed heart. And Nicodemus, as a teacher of the Old Testament, should have gone back to Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 11, it tells us, Jesus tells the people that he'll give them one heart, a new spirit he'll put in them. He'll take their heart of stone away and he'll give them a heart of flesh. Jesus is saying, humans are born of flesh Christians are born of the Spirit. So you could say, actually, well, Jesus, why not leave it there? You've told Nicodemus what he needs to do. But actually, Jesus doesn't leave it there, because he goes on, you should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. He drives home the point, the wind blows where it pleases. You see, Nicodemus was thinking there are rules and lines and straight lines, a bit like if you're navigating a ship according to a chart. I start in Southampton, I follow the charts, I end up in Malta. You do if you're in a modern day liner. But if you were in a sailing ship in the 19th century, you had to pick the wind. You had to go where God led. And that would be all over the place. And you see, Nicodemus is being told that the wind of the Spirit blows in all sorts of places, and it's no longer going to blow the way that Nicodemus is used to. And so it is with everybody born of the Spirit, it says at the end of verse 8. They're led by God. They're different. Radically different. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. And Jesus says, look, you're a teacher, you're the Lady Margaret Professor of Theology. Nicodemus, you read the Old Testament, you know the stories of the Old Testament. Come on, put the clues together. Begin to put the jigsaw together. God promised this a long time ago. It's now coming to pass, Nicodemus. And the old rules are broken and the new rules have come. Nicodemus's old is incredulity at what's happening, because he just can't grasp it. He just struggles to grasp it. If I tell you the truth, if we speak of what we know and we testify to what we've seen, he's saying, Nicodemus, you're an Old Testament scholar. You don't accept what I'm saying. I've spoken to you of earthly things. If I start talking of heavenly things, how are you ever going to grasp it? All you need to do, Nicodemus, is give your life to God. Admit your failings and your sin and come afresh to God. And he said, I've got authority to say that. Because not only did I come to you, I came to you from heaven. I came to you directly from heaven. I speak with ultimate authority. And then he gives Nicodemus this wonderful clue as to the key. Because he talks of what happened in the desert in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the stake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. He's saying, Nicodemus, do you remember about the tree of shame? Do you remember about people, the Saviour being killed? Do you remember Isaiah? Do you remember all those little bits of the Bible? And do you remember the story, Nicodemus, that when the people of God had sinned and deserved to die, there was a brass snake on a rod. And the only thing that saved them, that gave them new life, that allowed them to be born again, was faith. Nicodemus, that's what the key is. It's faith. That's why he says everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. What's a Christian? A Christian is somebody who has faith. Fundamentally, who believes, not who does. Christians are not made by coming to church. Christians are not made by reading their Bibles. They're not made by praying. They're made by faith in the living God. And you could leave it there again. But 1 to 15 is the how. 16 to 21 is the why. 16 to 21 is why God has set things out this way. Why he's not just left things as they were in the Old Testament. Why did he make this new covenant? Why did he make this new way for people to become children of God? Because of love. God saves us as an act of love. He dies in Christ as an act of love. He's lifted up as an act of love. It's an amen. It's a wonderful truth. So many people say to us, Christianity is about condemnation, about you telling me how wrong I am. Verse 17 tells us Jesus didn't come to condemn, he came to save. We're here to share a message of hope, not a message of condemnation. But the problem with Jesus' coming, which we see in the light and dark images in verses 19 and onwards, is it's a bit like while we were away on holiday, Grace got into photography. And you know how these days most people, a lot of people, use these. You just point and press. Grace has got my old camera. Focus it. And you remember when you look through the lens, the rangefinder, the lens, you see it's cloudy. And then you turn it and it becomes sharp and focused. And the image becomes sharp. And when Jesus came into the world, things became sharp. There was light and dark. There's no fuzzy edge anymore. You are either with God, believing in the name of Jesus, or you're not. And a Christian is simply somebody who's made that choice to live in the light. We don't like the light, because the light shows off everything that we are and we've done. What a Christian is they've said, I'm prepared to go into the light. I'm prepared to be exposed to God, to seek his forgiveness and to say, yes, Lord, please do your work in me. Jesus makes it clear, anyone who does evil hates the light, verse 20, and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Those are the people that come to church Christmas and Easter. Those are the people that have got too much to lose. I want to use somebody else to help me sum this up. John Piper wrote some wonderful words which will help us. The most basic, the most essential distinction between a Christian and a non-Christian is not new decisions of the will, not new deeds of the hands, not new doctrines of the mind, but a delight in the heart. That's my thesis, says John. I'll say it again. The most basic distinction between the body of Christ and the world is not godly decisions, good deeds, not even genuine doctrines, but glad delights in the glory of God, the beauty of God, the excellence of God, the holy majesty of God, the marvelous mercy of God, the person of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. Stop trying, Nicodemus. Stop coming in the dark, looking for easy answers and systems. Be born again. Be born from above. There are plenty of people out there who are like Nicodemus. They toy with Christianity, but they're scared of the cost. Nicodemus came with a perfect set of credentials. He got his baptism certificate, his confirmation certificate, his Sunday school Bible. He got it all. And Jesus says doesn't count for anything, Nicodemus, because you need to give it all up. Nicodemus, your circumcision and your race doesn't make any difference. My mum's in hospital at the moment, and you know how when you go into hospital, they make you sign a form about what religion you are. So many people in this country put C of E. That's not Christian. Christians are people who have allowed the light to shine into the deepest recesses of their life. That's why we're doing this sermon series. Because what we want to look at, if we're going to be truly Christian, that's going to affect our marriages, our money, our parenting, how we think about time, giving. Every aspect of life is going to be touched by being born again. So what is a Christian? Somebody that's come into the light, that's been born again. A creation of God. A Christian is somebody who's received Jesus into their heart. Done a 180, turned round, turned their back on the old way of life, come out of the darkness and into the light. Are we in the light? Amen.